Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. It is 9:59, and we're off and running.
You know, I just found out you're like a you're like a Victorian mom.
Who?
You're trying to arrange a marriage?
Yeah. No. Well, while Nina was on with us, Elmer texted me and said, "Is she single?" Because Doug, his son, is single. And she's a poker player. Doug's a poker player. Uh-huh.
Can Doug pay the dowry?
Doug can pay the dowry. Doug's actually doing really well. So Doug's just fine.
She's going to get part of the Wildcat.
You pocket watching Doug?
She's going to get part of the Wildcat fortune?
Well, she's the one that has to pay the dowry, isn't it?
I don't know how that works.
Actually. I think it is. The what? Her dad has to.
Ah.
But he don't need a dowry. He said, I don't need a dowry.
But will he be able to support her and buy her all the fancy dresses that she's going to want now that you're setting up this Victorian marriage?
I'm not setting up a Victorian marriage. Just said, hey, Doug. And he was like, yeah, hell yeah. Tell Nina we'll go out. All right, so. Hooking a brother up. That's what he said, brother up.
Did Nina say sure?
Yeah, she just did.
So she's going to go out with Douglas, I don't know who.
Stevens.
Douglas Stevens?
Yeah.
Does she know his connection with Penn State? Isn't that going
to
be like
No, he went to Iona. He played soccer for Iona.
Mm.
Yeah. No, he's got a connection because of his dad, but you can't hold that against him.
Sure you can.
No, you can't.
I hold it against Elmer all the time.
I know you do, but that was Elmer's decision to go to Penn State, not Doug's.
Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, John.
No, it did. He went to Iona.
The genes are still the genes, John.
He went to Iona. Okay.
Elmer made a poor decision.
He doesn't have anything to do with kids in the shower.
I didn't say that. Okay. Going to Penn State, period, is a bad decision. Didn't say anything about the kids in the shower.
Wow. Wow.
So I'm saying the genes made a poor decision, so I can't really think that Doug is really right for Nina, considering the decisions made by the father. That's all.
Well, he decided to go to Penn State long before.
I didn't say, I'm not even referencing the Jerry Sandusky. I'm just saying going to Penn State, it's a poor decision.
You just can't get off the Sandusky thing.
Poor decision, John, to go to Penn State.
No.
Bill O'Brien went to Penn
State. It used to be a good decision.
Bill O'Brien went to Penn State.
No,
poor
he didn't.
Decisions.
He coached at Penn State.
Yeah, he chose to go there. Poor decision.
He chose to straighten it all up. That's what he does.
Then got sideways.
He straightens up organizations.
And shockingly got sideways with them on the way out.
Yeah.
Surprising.
Like we didn't recognize that foreshadowing. Like, man, those people must have been really bad at Penn State, the way they talked to Bill O'Brien and made him this upset. Why would any coach get this upset about someplace? Mm. Like, make him this mad. Why are you so mad, Bill?
Why are you so mad? Anyway, we'll got to work it out. Maybe we'll have a poker tournament, and Nina can beat Doug's ass at poker. That'd be a fun way to start.
You can stop having tournaments.
Then you got a great story for the grandkids.
Grandkids.
Yeah.
So you're already planning their grandchildren,
yeah.
Doug and Nina's grandchildren.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope Nina has a say in all this.
She does.
Okay.
She's the one that said yeah.
Sounds like a very arranged thing
already.
Hook
a sister up, she said.
She said hook a sister up.
That's what she said.
All right, Jack.
One fish, two fish.
Relax, Jack.
All right. 713-780-3776. Rockets lose last night. Is that a historic bad fourth quarter?
I mean, no, there have been worse. This wasn't great. If you missed it, they were in the game, weren't leading, but they went on to be outscored 29-7 in the fourth to lose to Charlotte. LaMelo Ball, 7 3-pointers.
Seven seems like a low number.
It's not a lot of points in a quarter of basketball, no.
In an NBA quarter.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah. So I think just seems like a low number.
In a game where You had a shot if you played well in that fourth. I mean, you weren't the Hornets that kept you at bay, but you were still in it, and then you get outscored by 22.
Yeah. So that seemed like a bad way to finish a game. I don't know. Just me.
They've got New Orleans
but
tonight.
They didn't have – they don't have Christian Wood. They don't have, they didn't have John Wall. Or Eric Gordon.
Yeah, they're undermanned.
You think?
Yeah. It's just that when you're in it, you would have hoped for a better
I mean,
fourth.
You're not one of the great teams with all those guys.
Is that your assessment?
Yeah. I mean, so I just think that you're not even – I mean, to even be competing for the first three quarters with someone named Mason Jones. Mason Jones.
Yeah, but you were down three going into the fourth.
And you know who continues to play well that – I don't know for whatever reason, but Ben McLemore can't find his way onto the court. He played well last night, and he just – as soon as those guys come back, no more Ben McLemore.
We talked about this quite a bit last year when it was a different roster altogether. I mean, as well as he shot the basketball, I think he was like a 40% shooter from three. He wasn't going to get a lot of time. He's not considered a player that you want a part of a rotation consistently. He's just one of those other guys. And we saw in the playoffs, well, D'Antoni loves to do this, that Ben McLemore's minutes got reduced considerably. And even with all this new blood where there aren't really set guys, he's still a guy who's outside of normal rotations. He's not a player people think is a rotation player.
And he's got a pedigree. I mean, he was a first-rounder, high first-rounder.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that, wait a minute, the guy can play. Maybe it took him longer than, but he's like a, he is a true journeyman.
It's been the Kings, and then there was some, I don't know where he wound up before he landed with the Rockets, but he's been a guy who, despite the pedigree, hasn't been able to find a spot, and the Rockets are another place. You hope for his sake that with the injuries and if who knows how extended they'll be, he'll get more time. But the game before didn't play a minute against the Spurs.
Yeah. I mean, and that's when you had guys, and he's not getting on the floor.
He's not an NBA rotation player right now. At least coaches don't think so.
Sacramento for 4 years, for five, 4 years, then Memphis, then back to Sacramento, and then Houston. But you're right. He just doesn't, for whatever reason, coaches don't have faith that he's a guy that I can put on the floor night in and night out.
No, it's matchup dependent. You need a shooter. There's injuries.
Or if you're down to six players.
Then he gets
then
to play.
He gets on.
Yeah. That's not a great way to make a career.
Brett wants to get on the radio and talk. What do you say, Brett?
Hey, good morning, guys. I wanted to bring something up. I don't think a lot of people realize, but I think we're being a little overcritical when it comes to Easterby and some of his decisions. I mean, you guys have all heard the story from the Bible. That man fed the 5,000 with two fish. I can only imagine what he can do with this franchise with one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
All right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
well, that was Jesus that fed the...
Well.
The masses. This is not Jesus, Easterby.
This is the messenger, one of Jesus' messengers.
No, he's not a messenger.
He's not?
He talks about Jesus crip walking on water.
Well, you don't know that Jesus didn't do that, John?
I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't crip walk. Maybe there was no such thing as
crip walking.
Maybe
he invented crip walking.
Huh? Jesus did not invent crip walking.
I don't know why you're so sure about this. You know the saying, the Lord works in mysterious ways? Have you heard that before?
Yes, right. Well,
what's more mysterious than Jesus crip walking?
Does anyone ever talk about? Listen, I'm pretty sure they don't talk about Jesus crip being a crip. And certainly, we talk a lot about Jesus' blood.
Didn't say. Well, okay, that's true. I didn't say he was a crip. I'm saying you don't think at 18 A.D. what people thought was just a new dance was him crip walking.
He didn't.
As an 18-year-old.
There's nowhere in there where Jesus was dancing.
I mean, not everything Jesus did is in the Bible.
Yeah, like, everything.
Not everything. Like if you went to a celebration at 18, they wrote that down in the Bible. You don't know what he was dancing to or how he was dancing. Maybe that's where Jack is pulling it from.
I don't know that there was a lot of dancing going on back then.
You don't think people danced in 18 A.D.?
I don't.
When Jesus was 18,
they had any musical instruments?
They did. There's music, right?
No, I don't remember hearing anything about.
Well,
any
you weren't
music
around.
Ever?
Of course, there's people celebrated back then.
Zero in the year one.
I'm gonna Trust me, there is music. Some mandolin was being played.
There is no mandolin.
How? There's I'm going to type in oldest musical instrument. I bet you one existed back then.
Yeah.
Look, I don't believe.
I haven't been to the Middle East, but I don't know that there's a lot of that going on now.
Well, there is in some spots. Oh, I'm going to. Look, I don't believe Jesus crip walking. I think it's a ridiculous thing that Jack said. But hey, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Maybe he was crip walking. I don't know.
No.
He's closer to God than I am, so maybe he's gotten answered.
Yeah, I just.
I want to point out flutes have been around for a long time. History says flutes have been around for 50,000 years. So there could have been a musical instrument back then. Certainly,
flutes
probably
have been
was.
Around for 50,000 years?
Yes. So yes, music was being played when Jesus was. On
I'm
the
not
floor,
sure about the Middle East,
showing up.
No, I'm not sure. I know they've been around, but I just don't know about that.
It's not the same thing that it is now back then.
You don't think that it was even, I don't know, tighter back then?
The oldest.
I mean, the oldest, if
they did, I'm just telling you, I don't know if I have, I'm breaking this
you know
to
how
you.
Many prophets that, if you were a prophet or if you preached, you got put on a tree, okay? You got hung.
It's not a
tree. Okay? Yeah.
Well, he wasn't a prophet at 18.
Yeah, he was.
He was a carpenter, right?
No, Jesus, his father was.
Jesus took up the family business. Yes, he did. What, he's just sitting there doing nothing? You think Joseph,
he was,
hold on, you
he
think.
Was in, he was actually in the synagogues teaching.
Yeah, he was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. You think Joseph was not only going to accept the fact that of this virgin birth, he was going to let that kid hang around and do nothing?
I can't talk about this with you.
Why not? Look, yeah, well,
the only work Jesus had was teaching.
There's only
in
so
the synagogue.
There's only so much a man can take. I'm going to accept the fact that you're telling me that this is a virgin birth. What I'm not going to accept is the child born of that virgin birth is going to lay about and do nothing. He's carved some stuff. No,
there's nowhere in the Bible that says he was carving stuff.
I'm telling you, I heard growing up Jesus was a carpenter. Where did that come from?
I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that came from.
You know, Joseph pulled him out of his room. Hey, you're not just going to sit around and do nothing all day.
How about a hoops? I wish we had a hoop spot here.
No hoops.
Can I play some hoops? Get off your video games. You think Joseph said, get off the video game?
No, I'm just saying Joseph wasn't going to allow Jesus to be a layabout. That's all.
Okay. I'm going to teach you a trade in case you. Of course, you were the child of a virgin birth, but I need to teach you a trade. So Jesus went to carpenter trade school?
Was Jesus a carpenter? There's every evidence from Scripture that before he began his ministry, Jesus was employed as a carpenter. His earthly father, Joseph, was also a carpenter, which means that Jesus was likely his father's apprentice. You think
likely,
Joseph...
Likely. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. But okay.
I'm not a father, but you think the stepdad... is going to let that kid hang out and do nothing all day? There's no chance.
How about teaching? How about teaching the rabbis in synagogue?
At 14 years old?
Yeah, no. Remember, they had to go back for him because he stayed behind.
I understand. And you know what? No, his punishment was for stepping out of bounds?
Carve
some wood.
Man, that's all. We can't talk about this. What we can talk about, when we come back, we interviewed Jalen Waddle the other day. And here is from Episcopal High School. We'll play it in its entirety when we come back. Jalen Waddle, Alabama All-American. Find out where he's going, what he's doing, and he's a Houston kid. So he's getting ready for the NFL draft. We'll talk to him how he's feeling, all of those things, and winning a national championship next. Don't go anywhere. Stay.
All right, we're with Jalen Waddle, Alabama wide receiver, All-American, national champion. He has done it all in his career at Alabama. Moving on to the NFL. Jalen, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm all good. Thank you all for having me.
Man, thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. So tell us about now what you're doing to get ready. No combine this year. What do you think this process is going to be like for you?
I just think it's going to be not long. It's not going to be a long process, unfortunately. So I just think it's going to be more rehab and training and getting better at the simple things and get ready for pro day and try to showcase my talent.
You mentioned rehab, and I think one of the things that blew people away who are college football fans was that you were able to make it back from the injury you sustained. that kind of shattered the timeline. You know, you weren't supposed to be able to make it back, and you did. And I don't even know if you realize how many people on Twitter are like, he shouldn't be doing this, or Alabama shouldn't have him doing this or that. The NFL people I talked to said, man, as long as he doesn't hurt himself, this shows us how much this guy is just a baller. Like, how much he is about this game and winning a championship. What were your thoughts? What went through your decision-making to, you know, whether or not you wanted to play or if it was smart to play?
The first day I got injured, when I went back and got my X-ray and they told me what was wrong, I told them, is there any chance I would be able to be back for the national championship if we was to make it? And doctor told me you had to do hard work and be dedicated to doing so. And it was a goal of mine. And when I had the chance and the time came, the doctors told me I was checked out. So yeah, I think it was kind of an easy decision for me. I'm competitive, so I wanted to get out of there. I think it's just different from you get in the ring, just being on a team, than you actually playing and trying to make plays for the team and winning in that aspect of the game.
Jalen Waddle with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We saw you hobbling around a little bit. What happened?
It's just discomfort. I haven't worn cleats since the day of the injury. So I haven't worn cleats. So it was just discomfort. I had new soles in my shoe. So it was just really just discomfort in my shoe and in my cleats.
You wanted to catch bad, didn't you? I mean, you had to hit the stat sheet in that championship game.
Yeah, most definitely. But if I was to be a decoy out there, it was really for the betterment of the team. And just to showcase, they wanted me a decoy, back and take some defenders away from anybody on the team. Then that's what I was going to be used for.
Jalen Waddle with us here, Episcopal product. You went from Episcopal SPC football, and which isn't. I mean, it's got a lot of great. There's Division I players in the SPC, obviously, especially at Episcopal. You guys had more than a few, but not the competition always is an SEC. That's to say the least. What was that transition like? I mean, you played right away at Alabama and succeeded right away at Alabama. How did you go from Episcopal to Alabama and play so well?
I think just being confident in your skill set and being confident in your ability to have confidence that you could go and play from a private school and then go to one of the better conferences and be able to be yourself and be you, honestly, and really just make plays for your team.
How does that work at Alabama? When you talk about being you, I mean, you know, I've been around a lot of Alabama players at the Senior Bowl. There's always a lot of alphas that come out of Alabama, a lot of five-star guys who are the best guys on their team. How tough is it fitting into, or how challenging is it fitting into a locker room with so many guys who are the dudes at their school, in their conferences, in their states?
Well, for my position group, I had Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and Devontae Smith, and they all great players and all gonna be high draft picks, and Smith is gonna be a high draft pick this year. So it's just really just trying to stay on pace with them and compete with them, and just to show them that your ability is just as good as theirs, and just trying to make a play and just competing with one another.
Let me follow up on that. You know, that's one of the things that's a little different about Alabama is a lot of the schools that we see, they'll stop recruiting players at a certain position because they don't want to upset the player that they've already recruited or whatever the case may be. Nick Saban's always viewed it as, we're going to get good players. And if you don't want to compete against the best players on your own team, then you can transfer somewhere else or go somewhere else. But we expect you to compete against other great players. And I feel like that makes Alabama players a little more mentally tough. Is that oversimplifying it, or do you think that's the same?
I definitely think that's the truth. Younger guys that come in is trying to make a name for themselves, and they're trying to bring energy to the team and show that they can play. So that makes guys that's been there, veterans, put some pep in their step and really get on their heels. And Coach Saban tell the young guys from day one, just to try to make the older guys better and really push the older guys. So when it's your time to showcase your talent, you'll be ready to go and fill in right where he left off.
Jalen Waddle with us here on ESPN 97.5. Do you feel like you helped Devontae win that Heisman Trophy? Because let's face it, if you were there all year, he wouldn't have had all those catches. and he wouldn't have won that Heisman. So did he thank you yet?
Smitty's a great player, honestly. Only off the field, he's a hard worker. And it was honestly just great to see all his hard work coming to a great season. And Smitty's a great teammate. He's always does the right thing. He was a team captain, and he always does the little things great. So it was just honestly just great just to see him just win and get all these awards and things, because he obviously one of the hard workers I've been able to watch and be a part of.
I want to ask you about, when I wrote you up this year, I always do this for all the players. I'll go back and watch, like I actually watch touchdowns and drops from all the way back to 18, for example. I've got 3 years of tape. So I'll go back and watch touchdowns, all drops, all fumbles, things like that. But it was funny watching you from last year to this year. Alabama really, and I guess the position you were in, you really got to show more of your route running. Like, we saw a different guy than what we had seen in the past. We got to see you get in and out of breaks quick. We got to see all the bend and the flexibility, how quickly you could snap off routes. I mean, we saw a different version of Jalen Waddle. Is that by design with the offense, where you took on a different receiver position, or did that have anything to do with, you know, how you trained this year and how the offense was set up?
Oh, I honestly think just a little bit of both. Last year, with being coming off and coming into the game, you never know where you're going to be on the field, and different when you're a starter. And now that they know where to position you, they know what route to give you. So it was more from a fill-in type of role to you're a starter, and we're trying to give you the ball and try to draw plays for you. So I think the game plan-wise and just coming into a bigger role was definitely a big part from my sophomore season to my junior season.
Jalen Waddle is here on ESPN 97.5. You played with Jalen, and he's making in the NFL. Tua is making in the NFL. What about Mac? How do you think he's going to do at the next level?
I honestly think Mac's going to be just fine. I honestly think he's going to be a superstar. I got to see Mac. When I came in, he was my quarterback. We was both on the third team together when I first came in. So I got to see him really work his way up and really trust the process, trust the program, into having a great Heisman finalist season. So I think Mac's going to be just fine in the NFL. The way he plays the game, he's very smart. His preparation before the game is like no one I ever seen before. So I think Mac's going to be good.
What's the difference in catching a football from a left-hander that throws the ball like Tua versus a guy like Mac Jones? From a receiver standpoint, is it different catching it from a lefty than a righty in terms of how it spins? And does that make any difference? Or the way that they throw, is it different for you catching a football?
Well, luckily, it does spin a little different coming off of Tua's hand because he's a lefty. But luckily, they both accurate quarterbacks, so the ball placement is always going to be in the same spot. It just gets to you in a different type of way. But they're both accurate, and they give you a good ball.
Jalen Waddle with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So what are they telling you? You get word from scouts. You get word from people in the NFL of where you might go. What are they saying about your injury and how that's going to affect everything and your position in the draft?
Just get healthy. That's my main focus right now. Getting healthier, and that's what I'm doing right now. And just being you. Don't try to rush anything. Don't try to be nothing outside of yourself. Just getting healthy and continue training, and which I've been doing. My rehab and my training's been going well. So that's pretty much what I'm doing. You can't. I'm not gonna look at the draft and try to, you know, do something different far as before the pre-draft and things of that sort. So that's pretty much where I'm looking at it from. NFL is going to be there, and whatever team decides to draft me, I think they're going to get a hard worker.
Do you plan on working out and being ready to work out for, I assume Alabama's having a pro day. Okay. If that's the case, do you plan on going with full workout there?
Yes, sir. I definitely plan on going to pro day and showcasing my ability.
All right, I'm setting it now. 4-3-2. We going under or over 4-3-2?
Okay, I've been saying we just gonna let it marinate. I want y'all to give me y'all thoughts and tell me which I think I'm gonna run. So 4-3-2. I like that one. I had the other interview and someone gave me like a 4-3-7. So I'm having good reviews right now. So I'm excited about that.
So when I watched you on tape, I was like, dude, this is as fast as Tyreek Hill. Like this is I knew you're fast, but I felt like you played faster than even Ruggs. When I watched him. So I was like, you know what? He's going to go low 4-3s. And I'm wondering if you can even go lower. So I was hoping to say you would run the 40 because that's just like swinging for the fences of the baseball player. We know you can hit a home run. We just want to see how far you can hit it.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. And your injury, did they tell you that you're going to come back the same? Because it wasn't like a knee or a Achilles that can slow you down. Is that what have the doctors told you about how if you're going to be back to where you were?
Oh yeah, most definitely. They say I'm going to have a full recovery and everything's going to be just fine. With the injury I had, it's just something you just got to deal with and go forward with. But they say the injury is not uncommon. It's a common injury and you should be back and your abilities should be the same.
How did you celebrate the national championship? Did Nick did he give you any of his Little Debbie cookies or anything like that?
Nah. Me and the guys just went back to the hotel, and it was really like a moment. You know, we were just so surprised, not surprised. As far as we were just so happy, and it was just time to celebrate with my teammates.
That's great. That is great. Well, congratulations, Jalen. Great stuff. Congratulations on your success going from Episcopal to Alabama, being a national champion, All-American, now getting drafted in the NFL draft. That's got to be a dream come true. We're happy for you, and hopefully you have some great success in the NFL.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10:31, ESPN 97.5, 7378-0377-6, our final segment before we hit News of the Weird. So if you want to get in right away. Headlines, Rockets lose. They didn't have any other players, but they lost. They lost badly. It's not nearly as much fun without Christian Wood on the floor. It's just not. John Wall as well. Eric Gordon.
I think Christian Wood's the biggest one because he represents the present and the future.
Yeah,
you look at him and go, as good as how good can he be, and will he be good enough to at some point attract people to come play here with him?
Yeah, and I think if you lose a game without Christian Wood on the floor, you're like, we don't have our best player.
Particularly in this season where there are no real aspirations other than maybe you become a pain in the ass in the playoffs for some team against some team. When he's not playing, like, okay, whatever. Right. Best player wasn't playing.
Yeah.
What do you want from us?
Yeah, I mean, and we didn't have John Wall. I mean, it was
you didn't have two-thirds of your really main backcourt rotation when you throw Oladipo in there as well, and then you didn't have your best player. Okay, you lost to Charlotte.
Yep.
That's what happens.
That's what happens when you play Charlotte. And even Charlotte. It's not going to be easy to get that job done. 713-780-3776. Lazy J is here. He wants to talk about LeBron, I would imagine. What's up, Lazy J?
Good morning, fellas. Johnny G, you are right. First, before I'm going to talk about the Lakers, I had a quick question. I've been watching a lot of LaMelo Ball this year. I know rookies don't get a lot of fouls, called on their way. But, I mean, it's blatant that he's getting fouled a lot this year. And do you think that the refs maybe have a target on his back since he's such a hyped-up player that they just don't want to give him those calls? And also, my second question is, what do y'all think? Maybe Andre Drummond maybe to the Lakers. Gasol is too slow. He'd be a good off the bench center, but maybe do y'all think that AD maybe needs to slide to the five position? I know he doesn't want to play the center position, but maybe he plays the five. Maybe he can get Drummond. If not Drummond, maybe he go after maybe a Kevin Love, I know he really hasn't played this year. Yeah, Blake Griffin maybe on expiring contract. What you guys think about that, man? Love the show.
Well, Anthony Davis will slide to the five in the playoffs. It's not something he likes to do. And the matchup will determine it. We saw against the Rockets where Dwight played more, or was it they played Dwight? They played Dwight in game one, and they kind of played him off the floor after that Rockets win. Anthony Davis will be your five in your biggest moments, but it's not something he likes to do. Well, I don't know. What are the Lakers wanting to give up? I mean, since we have to do this, since I don't really want to do Lakers stuff because it's the Lakers, I don't care.
Well,
but what are they giving up for Andre Drummond, who's like a $20 million player?
Yeah. Well, so his final question was, what do you guys think about that?
We don't care.
And no, my answer is I don't think about that because I don't give a rat's ass about that.
Yeah.
I don't care what the Lakers do. I don't care if the Lakers, the Lakers can EAD.
Nope.
What? Okay. So I don't care about the Lakers. And I don't think about the Lakers.
Not at all.
I don't
all.
Think about Andre
not
if, Drummond.
Not at all.
I don't
all.
Think about Anthony Davis. I don't think about any of the things that you just talked about. Because I don't give a rat's ass about the Los Angeles.
And Blake Griffin is not an expiring. I think he has a player option for the final year of his deal.
That's great. I don't care.
Almost $39 million. So I imagine he's going to opt into that. So not an expiring. And also, Andre Drummond, $29 million player. Find the salaries to make that work. And now I'm done here. I'll just give you the numbers. But as far as how it helps the Lakers, I don't care.
Yeah. No one cares. Here's this just in. No one here cares about any of that, Lazy J. No one. You, that's it. You know what? Maybe you should do a podcast for yourself and talk all about the Lakers.
Or listen to a Lakers podcast.
Don't
I'm sure there are plenty.
Care. There's no care there. Zero. Zero, zero, zero care of any of that. So there's that. Okay?
A little being slightly disrespectful.
No. No.
A little bit.
No.
A little bit. No. You insulted him a little bit.
So Yarbrough put out the biggest priority for every NFL team this offseason. What do you expect the Houston Texans' biggest priority?
Is it something to do with retaining their quarterback?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
I don't know how I knew that.
Yeah.
Clairvoyant.
It's repairing the Deshaun Watson fiasco. Indianapolis, bringing it, get Carson Wentz.
That's their biggest offseason priority?
Well, I mean, they're a quarterback away, aren't they?
Is Carson Wentz that quarterback? I know yesterday I said I wouldn't throw him away, but I don't know if he's a championship quarterback.
If you can get him for a first rounder, and that's it.
Yeah, they've shown the willingness to trade first rounders for established players. They did it last year to get.
And that was with a defensive lineman.
Yeah, a mid first rounder for a defensive lineman. This one will be even lower to go grab a quarterback. I mean, sure, I guess. If you believe, they have to believe. And Lance talked about what Carson Wentz is. I'm not of that opinion that this bat last year, as bad as it was, is just a death nail for him as far as what he can be. First round pick feels a little steep though for him.
Oh, I don't know. I think his potential. I mean, we've seen him good. We just saw him disastrous last year.
I don't think
maybe
he'll be
a change
that bad.
Of scenery, maybe a better,
a legit line and running game.
Yeah, and Frank Reich.
Yeah, which is the guy who helped. Yeah, that's the connection. If Frank Reich believes he can get him to be the guy he was the last time he was with Frank Reich, then I understand the first round pick.
Yeah. And I think he probably does. I mean, I mean that's got to be the favorite. They've got to be the favorite. But if I'm Philadelphia, I'm like, you want this dude too bad. This dude probably put you over the top. I want two firsts.
They want the Stafford package.
Yep.
I don't know. They're not getting two firsts for him, though.
Probably not out of Ballard. Probably not.
No. So, I mean.
But Ballard, like we said, Ballard ain't afraid. And let's face it, they are a quarterback away. They get good quarterback play. I mean, they got that far with Phillip Rivers, pop gun arm last
year. I do
year.
Think they need to. I mean, they did draft Michael Pittman, but T.Y. is getting up there when he's not playing the Texans. I mean, he's been relatively. He was average this past year. Injuries are a concern for him consistently. I think they do need to upgrade their skill position as well. Is Eric Eric Ebron's not there, right? Where did he go? Is he there? Is that no? He went to Pittsburgh, right? I know he played for the Colts at one point. I'm not sure if he's still there. I think they need to.
No. It's not Ebron. It's the Giants. It's not the Lions. It's the Giants' former.
Ebron's in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they need to upgrade their skill position. I mean, running back. They went and got Jonathan Taylor. Which they're fine at with their.
Well,
with
but they had T.Y. group. Hilton and they couldn't get him the ball.
T.Y. Hilton is always hurt too. They need help. I mean, how are we still going to run out there with Pascal? Just because he does what he does to the Texans, at some point, T.Y. Hilton caught 56 balls for 760 yards. Some that's Phillip Rivers, sure, but he's also a guy you can't really depend on to be on the field consistently. He did play his 15 this year, but he was hobbled. 10 last year. The last couple years, it feels like T.Y. is slowing down. 10 games last year, 15 this year, but I feel like he was hobbled. An upgrade is needed.
Yeah. Jack Doyle, Trey Burton.
Yeah, that's not enough.
Mo Alley Cox.
That's not a championship level skill position group.
No. Yeah, they could do that, but most important is getting that.
No, I'm not saying not get a quarterback, but as you're making that decision. I don't know what type of salary cap space I have, but they're going to be receivers out there. If you want to look at Juju Smith-Schuster or Jones from Detroit, there are guys out there you can look at to bolster that receiving core. I mean, because T.Y. feels like he's an old 31 right now. Maybe he gets rejuvenated with a different quarterback, but I think that needs to be shaken up, that wide receiver core. And find yourself a tight end, too.
Speaking of which, what do you think Miami's is?
Skill position weapons,
skill
right?
Position, yeah.
Which is makes sense. They're devoid of that. Preston Williams, who can't stay healthy, is a guy they like, but he's another big body guy like Devontae Parker who can't separate. So finding a guy who can get open quickly, particularly a guy who likes to run slants that Tua likes to run and the Dolphins like to call, and that's why Devontae Smith would be really, really good there. And you have multiple first-round picks. I don't know if you add another weapon at running back, you probably find one later, but maybe get a pass rusher. They don't have a legit – Ogbo was good this year, but they don't have like a legit, fearful, oh, my God, that guy's lined up. We got to put two guys on him as a pass rusher. I don't know if there's a free agent they can find. They have some money to spend. Maybe they devote a first-round pick to that too. But, yeah, skill position, clearly most important.
Mm-hmm. And San Francisco's decide if Jimmy Garoppolo is enough. I wouldn't mind dealing with San Francisco. If you know, I wouldn't mind giving them to an NFC team first of all. And boy, they'd be the favorite in the NFC.
Oh, and the other thing is T.Y. Hilton's a free agent, so that's the other thing. I don't know how much they're willing
they got money.
To bring him. Well, that's the question. Do they want to bring him back or go find an
or
upgrade?
Go find it, yeah.
So what we talked about San Francisco before, but if San Francisco believes they're a championship contender, sure, of course you want Deshaun, but you would imagine what they would do it through draft picks, right? They don't want to give up veteran or not even veteran, but good young defenders. That's part of their core. Are they just going to hand you Nick Bosa, a guy they like?
Well, probably not. No, but would he not be worth it?
No, look, I get it. The quarterback is most important, but you look at the team that just won a Super Bowl. Pass rushers. They had a devoted time. They devoted assets and money to that front. They devoted assets and money. Well, I don't know how much money because Devin White was a rookie. Levante David's deal is ending. Money to that linebacker core, corners, assets. San Francisco is built on the running game and defense. Do they want to start picking away at that defense
to get Deshaun Watson? Yeah,
I don't know if they would do it. Not. I would think they would use draft picks. I'm not sure they're giving up Nick Bosa.
You can find another Nick Bosa. It's hard to find a Deshaun.
I understand. Look, I'm fully aware of what he is and what his value is, but Deshaun is he hasn't proven it because it's not all his fault. But we've seen dominant a really good roster makes a whole lot of difference, and Deshaun hasn't shown he's able to elevate a lacking roster. And you've seen the San Francisco start to fall apart. Injuries have been a concern. If you start peeling away young guys who are part of your core. It gets tougher for Deshaun, and the other thing is, Deshaun, hey, we're going to trade to San Francisco, but Nick Bosa and another young veteran's coming back. Do you want to play there? It's not; they won't be a Texans-like roster, but...
Well, they'll still be much better. And you're playing for Shanahan.
Yeah, but he wants to win, and if you're taking away talent off that roster, what's it,
you can still win
the best? Well, we'll
I think
see.
They still, if they get Deshaun, they still be, they'd be the favorite in the NFC.
I don't know that.
I do.
I don't think they're the favorite. I don't think they're better than Green Bay. Still, are they better than Tampa?
Yeah.
I don't. Why?
Tampa well, still has a better roster. They got to sign Shaq Barrett.
They have to sign multiple guys. I think Levante David is a free agent too. But I don't think Deshaun on San Francisco makes them better. Richard Sherman's at the end of his run. They're still running him out of corner.
Well, you still can pick up guys. I mean, it's not like you can't pick up any guys.
Understood, but I would take Tampa and Green Bay over them right now.
1044 ESPN 97.5. That's it. We've got News of the Weird coming your way. You don't want to miss that ever on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This story has come up a few times. Apparently, as a Michigan man went to a baby shower, and they had some kind of a cannon at the baby shower to blow off they shot off a cannon at a baby shower, and the man died from shrapnel from the cannon.
Why is there shrapnel?
Why is there a cannon?
I thought those things, well, it's a cannon, first off, but usually aren't they just shooting out confetti, those type of devices? Like, hey, look, it's blue for baby or boy and pink for girl. They're actually sending out military-grade arms?
Somehow, dude, I can't get on the story because I've got ad blockers, but apparently this dude, I mean, there's multiple stories. This dude just died from the shrapnel. That's unlucky. To celebrating someone, the birth of someone, to die there?
Well, to be fair, being at a baby shower is unlucky to begin with.
Yeah, right.
And then you just added to it.
Right. Man passed away in Milwaukee inside of his apartment. The apartment says he's still responsible for next month's rent. Well, do you think he should pay next month's rent?
Do his heirs have to pay the rent?
Apparently.
I'm not doing that. Someone.
Deanna Barber got a hold of a letter from her dad's property manager, and she couldn't believe what she was reading. Even though he died, he still had to pay rent.
If someone close to me dies and the bill comes due for me, nah, make me.
We unfortunately must withhold your entire security deposit because of the invalid notice.
How do invalid notice of my death?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. There was a driver. He has a sticker on his car, Del, not drunk, avoiding potholes. Guess what? He was arrested for
being drunk.
Yeah, driving under the influence.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're actually calling attention to yourself with that.
Not drunk, avoiding potholes. Guess what?
Only drunk people who know they're going to be drunk and driving would put that sticker on their car.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of homicide in Chicago, Del.
I've heard
it's apparently it's not safe anymore to be investigating those homicides.
So the police are in danger too.
Well, two armed men attacked and robbed an on-duty police detective as he investigated a recent homicide in the South Shore neighborhood Monday. Give me some squad emergency. Give me some help. The injured officer's partner radioed seconds after. They tried to rob my partner. Apparently they did. They jumped the cop from behind, physically attacked him, began going through his pockets, and then they ran.
I don't know police etiquette and what happens when you're back at the station, but if you're a police officer and you get robbed, Is that almost as bad as someone taking your gun?
If they jump you from behind, I mean, it's bad if they take your gun.
Isn't your job to be aware of your situation?
Well, I guess, but I mean, sometimes.
And where's your partner, by the way?
Well, he called it in. He was injured somehow.
You got two people there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
So London apparently they have a record skinniest house. How wide do you think this house is?
6 feet?
6 feet. Mm-hmm. It's up for sale for $1.3 million. It seems like to me, I would want a wider house than 6 feet for $1.3 million.
Is it being sold because of that price, because of the novelty?
perhaps it's in between two other apartments.
The Slender property.
It's a three-story.
Used to be a hat shop. Now it's a unique five-story home. They call it a five-story. The one I'm looking at, the Today Show calls it a five-story home.
A five-story?
It doesn't look like it to me.
I see three stories.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, but yes, $1.3
million. $1.3 million. It actually looks like it's kind of nice.
Inside, you've seen the inside of it?
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of the inside.
Yeah, the outside looks kind of, well, it's compared to the thing on the left, it doesn't look run down.
Not much room to do stuff.
Yeah.
But it is different.
I don't think I'd like living there.
No, I don't think so. Jimmy John's has a new spicy chicken sandwich, Del. Are you going to go for it?
Is it spicy because they put something on it, or is it because the chicken is actually spicy? You know my rule.
I know your rule about it, but, I mean, give it a shot.
No, I'm steadfast. If your spice comes from some Chipotle thing or some spicy mayo you put on, I'm out. Sorry. That's all. I got rules.
Yeah.
I mean, the Texans have their height, weight, speed thing. I've got this.
Today's National Pizza Day, Del. You going to eat pizza? Pizza King?
I didn't even know.
I ordered a pizza from Tom and Tom's downstairs.
Have you tried them before?
I have not tried their pizza, so I'm gonna try it. It's a small one.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Jimmy John's spicy chicken. It just, whatever. It's just cut up chicken that I'm sure it's made with seasoned chicken, Creole chili pepper sauce.
There you go. The healthiest city in America, Del?
Portland.
San Francisco. Seattle second, Portland is third.
I know, it's, you know, all those states up there, they're all vegan.
San Diego, Honolulu, Washington. Where do you think Houston? Well, all the cities in the country.
We love our beef.
Yeah.
We love our queso.
Well, this is based on healthcare, food, fitness, and green space.
Healthcare should be up there. Green space, not so much. I'm going to say, how many top 100? What is it, just overall?
Overall, the number of cities are... They go 182 cities.
I'm going to go, much like the Texans, mid. Whatever the mid
almost
is.
Almost exactly, 93rd.
Why wouldn't it be? The whole city is mid right now.
93rd. We don't do a lot of fitness. Our food isn't great. Green space, not so good.
I would disagree about the food. I think they mean not healthy,
healthcare.
Right?
Healthcare should be
that's
way
what
up
I
there.
Thought. This would, I thought that's what kept us in the 90s.
Healthcare, 39th. What? You're the best medical care in the country. That's a dumb.
Well,
never
you got,
mind.
Well, yes, but I'm
it's dumb
sure,
anyway.
I'm sure some of it has to do with all the fat people they're dealing with, so it has to get downgraded according to this article.
Gorilla Glue had to apologize. Its first public apology. Apparently, a TikToker used their adhesive on her hair. She had to go to the hospital to get it removed.
So why did they have to apologize?
Because she used it on her hair.
But did they say that it's for use on topically on your head?
No.
Then why is it their fault?
Oh, my goodness. She looks like she's plastic, and she, for some reason, thought it would be, oh, my God, somebody was putting it, actually using it like it's a dye on her hair. Can people be dumber in any way, shape,
no,
or form?
No, these stories tell us every day that, no, they cannot be dumber.
What, Del, have you ever put glue on your head?
No. This woman, I've never had a toupee, so I've never had to do that. This woman styled hair with Gorilla Glue. Did sure. she? Does the Gorilla Glue bottle look like hairspray? Is that what happened?
I don't know.
Not that it matters, because it has a label on it.
It yeah. says Gorilla Glue.
Yeah. I don't understand the apology.
Well, and it's someone doing it for her, so two people are stupid. Two people are really, really stupid.
And she probably did it for clout, and then she realized, wait a minute, this stuff is actually pretty effective. I'm screwed. Yeah. And now Gorilla Glue has to apologize. Okay.
Yeah. Did you see Patrick Mahomes' mom complaining to Giselle?
Yeah, she added Giselle while she was complaining about the refs.
Yeah. She said, is it, if you have to... If you have to have the ref on your team, is that really winning, Giselle?
Why is Giselle doesn't play? Why is Giselle catching it? Look, the Mahomes women love to talk. They like being very vocal on social media.
Right.
His fiance does. His mom does. They haven't done a lot of losing recently. So I don't know if they've. I don't know why they should be used to it. They played at Tech. They
yeah,
should be used
they should
to
be
losing.
Well used to it. Hell Pizza is teaming up with an adult toy store to include vibrators with pizza in Valentine's Day promotion. Dell, are you going to send a pizza and a vibrator to someone you love?
I have to know the quality of the pizza and the vibrator. I'm just not going to send you a crappy vibrator and crappy pizza.
What if it's Papa John's?
Then that vibrator better be the best vibrator of all time if you're going to couple it with a Papa John's pizza. Got to make up for it.
Are you going to send it to someone you love?
I wouldn't send that off randomly. I'm just not just going to hit you with the pepperoni pizza and a vibrator. Seems weird.
Hey.
Look, I know.
Trying to get you thicker and.
Pizza places have like deals where you can get, if you buy two liters with this pizza, it'll cost you $20. Well, I've never seen the vibrator special deal before.
Well, you got one now. Hell Pizza.
I don't think I want any vibrator.
Order now at Hell Pizza.
How much does it cost?
I don't know that.
Well, I need pricing.
It's worth it if you make somebody happy.
Happy is the word
thicker.
Is happy the word we're using for what the vibrator is going to do?
That's it. The Press Box is next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.